Welcome to A Questionable Mind. My name is Jessica Perry. I am the alt host thing. Anyway, I am the co-host. Let me introduce our host, Lucy Dyer. Hooray!
Yo! Oh, hello.
How are you?
Good evening, minions.
Minions? Oh my god, she's taking over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've never seen her and Trump in the same room. Just
well,
saying.
Well, this is true. I do have bigger balls than him, except mine are on my chest.
So you're not Trump in disguise, is what you're saying. I'd like to see you two in the same room. I think you could kick his ass without getting arrested or shot.
Well, you know, one of these days.
Arrested you'd get. Okay, never mind. Maybe we avoid having you and Trump in the same room. I just, you know, keep the tiny hands where I can see them, Donald. Anyway.
So, what are we talking about this evening?
I believe this is the anti-hero, anti-matter episode. See what I did there?
Oh, yes, yes. So, who do we want to go with first? Do we want to go with Lizzie, or do we want to go with Bernie?
Well, why don't you give a little background on what exactly we're talking about and why?
Well, if we're going to go with, we'll go with Liz first then.
Okay.
It's to do with that, where she got, let's use a word from a favourite show of ours, she got redacted the other day in,
That'll come up later.
Oh, yeah, I bet it will. Daddy boy.
Wow, okay. Anti-hero. Okay. There's going to be some
whole
deconstructing Wally. We love you, Wally. Anyway, go ahead.
So, she got redacted from reading some kind of letter in the Senate the other day, and people went apeshit, and I was... It's just my thought process kind of went haywire, and I was thinking, I was reading the tweets and stuff, and it occurred to me, it's kind of like, have people forgotten all the sort of like the bad words and the vitriol that happened when she sort of like backed Hillary Clinton,
right,
in the elections last year? And I'm thinking, well, people have very short memories around here.
Well, I think I should give, I should mention that. The letter she was reading was a letter from Coretta Scott King, Dr. King's wife, before she died. I think she wrote this in the 80s about Jeff Sessions. And
I should add that Bernie Sanders did actually read it all the very next day in the Senate, the whole lot, the whole letter. So it did get read out, so.
Okay, and so here's my thing, like, I think it was stupid that they interrupted her, and it certainly represented something ugly, particularly considering who the letter was from, and also you have to remember that, like, this was essentially about, like, should we hire this guy? She was reading a very relevant document in regards to this man. So in that sense, like, yeah, absolutely, we should be upset that they did essentially censor her interview, basically.
I think both of us can actually say that that's not the bit that we're actually sort of like saying that's wrong.
I think my problem is, like, I don't take issue with the fact that, like, people who were otherwise irritated with her in the past were upset that they censored her. Like, I understand that, like, because I was. My problem is that they've turned this into, like, this amazingly dramatic, freaking noble act of, I'm like, she was quoting Coretta Scott King. She wasn't actually Coretta Scott King. She got interrupted in the middle of a freaking hearing. Could we, you know, have a little perspective here? Because the, you know, and yet she still persisted thing, that just makes it sound like you're pretending. I know that that's making fun of a quote from friggin' Turtle Face. I know that. But you're making it sound like she was going through this incredible friggin', she was going through something incredible, and I'm like, no, she got interrupted in the middle of a speech. That's what happened.
Yeah. And I think it was also a case of where it was a woman getting silenced by like the wrinkly old white man in the Senate, as it were, which is, you know, we're always kind of like berating ourselves that they should be, like, you guys should get rid of them and stuff. So there is that. But another thing that kind of made me go, oh God, you know, smack my head against the desk and everything, is that people were using the quote, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was called, and they were using it to sell stuff for their own.
That was the, and I think it was like, and yet she persisted. That was that quote.
Yeah, but there were people that were actually using that quote on T-shirts and stuff to actually.
It's amazing.
Yeah, for their own gains, and I was thinking, that's mind blowing. It's kind of like you're.
What?
How can you do that when it's kind of like
I feel like, and it's funny because considering who Elizabeth Warren is, and you know what people respect her for, people respect her for taking a very hardline anti-corporate stance. Yeah, she endorsed Hillary, but she is a Democrat. We kind of expected that to happen. She did do it after. But yes, she endorsed Hillary, but like, she is very anti-Wall Street, she is critical of capitalism. I find it interesting that we've decided to manufacture her. I think that's kind of an ugly. I don't think people are thinking along those lines, and I don't know if they're doing it coming from an ugly place. It's just, it's a little weird, it's a little off-putting to me.
I mean, maybe we're just like thinking too much into all of this, you know, but it's kind of
we
like,
do that.
Yeah, but it's
well, I mean, to be fair, I do own a T-shirt that says, I did used to own a T-shirt that said, I'll believe corporations are people when Texas executes one. So I understand the appeal of getting shirts that say stuff like that. But when you sit back and think of it, it is a little bit strange, and it's strange how quickly that happened, because this just happened a few days ago.
I mean, don't get me wrong, people out there. We're not saying that what happened to her was wrong or what she read out was wrong. It's the aftermath. What I couldn't get my head around kind of was kind of like beforehand, before this happened, it was kind of like people had all this vitriol against her because she backed Hillary and all this kind of stuff. And then this happened, and then she was back in their good books, as it were. And I'm like,
right.
Hello?
I just find it weird that we're presenting it in such a way that it's comparing, adversity was the word I was looking for before, it's comparing her to the adversity, like, feminists in the past have struggled with, and I'm like, she wasn't risking death or anything.
Maybe her job, but that's about it.
And I think, and here's where I stand, like, you know, I respect her for doing what she did, and again, I think what she was actually saying was relevant to the conversation and actually needed to be said, and I thank Sanders for saying it the next day. And that's not, like, I think people are focusing on, like, lionizing her and not saying, and not what Mitch McConnell did was objectively wrong. I'm like, there's saying something's wrong, and then there's pretending someone's a victim. It's not the same thing.
Mm.
And I really don't think she was a victim. I think she was just put in a shitty place.
Yeah. I think like I asked the question, I think I asked you as well, it's kind of like, if it was anybody else, would it have gone down as big as it did? Would there still be T-shirts?
I don't think there would be T-shirts.
Exactly. I mean, if it was another, another woman, would it be the same? I mean, if it was Bernie Sanders and he got redacted, yes, I think it would be the same.
Well, that goes back to the hero worship thing.
Yeah, but it's kind of like if it was anybody else bar, say, like Liz Warren or Bernie Sanders, would the what happened afterwards, would that be as it got? You know, if it was anybody else. And I don't think it would have. I think it, because it was who it was.
Right.
That
specifically
got up in arms about it and said this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing that, which they shouldn't have. They should have let her speak, and then they could have said, well, you know, what you said is wrong and we're not going to put it in the files or whatever, you know, or, you know, we, however they, because, you know, they I think they whatever happens in the Senate gets written down or whatever, and so they, you know, they, like, could have said, you know, we're not putting that down in the,
say, level. For instance, it wouldn't be because she's not she wouldn't have been in this position, but say, for instance, Donna Brazile was in a very similar situation. Certainly that would not have been the case, which would have been funny because, you know, we you know, a lot of people have very real, very understandable reasons to have disdain for her. On the other hand, I'm just thinking, if an African-American woman was reading frickin' Coretta Scott King, we'd have more reason to, people would have, like, legit more reason to be very upset, but I don't think they would have been. There's a little hypocrisy in that. Like, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. Mm. Now, granted, she's an interesting example, because I don't think she would have done that. But, you know, it's, my point remains. I think, you know, the message is what's important, and what actually happened is. It's not about, like, who Elizabeth Warren is. I've said this before, my relationship status with Liz is, it's complicated, but I'm glad she's there. I'm very glad she's there. I should say that.
I mean, talking about, like, people with short minds and memories and stuff, it kind of, like, moves, if we can move on just a little bit, I mean, it does kind of, like, go in nicely to this whole Bernie Sanders new party thing that's flying around. And the only question I've got about it, don't get me wrong, I think it's great that people are starting to say, well, we need a new party, blah, 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 this needs to happen. Yes.
Yes.
I think we can all say, yes, do we need a new party, whatever. But do you really need Bernie to be your leader?
I have...
Or be a leader for what the party is trying to do. Do you need Bernie?
I have a few objections to Bernie Sanders. So,
I mean, the way I see it, it's kind of like, I like the fact that it's happening.
Yes.
There should be more of these kind of people that are coming up. I can't remember who was it that Lee interviewed the other day for his VIP?
Let me actually look. Nick something or other. Sorry,
yeah,
dude.
He's started up a new party.
His name is Nick Brana.
There should be more people like this Nick that's starting up new parties and stuff. That's exactly what you guys need. And the only thing that I've got with it is whether you really need... Do you need Bernie Sanders to be your leader? And for me, looking at the tweets afterwards, it's kind of like people have gone back and are now using Bernie Sanders as their crutch.
Right.
Again, to say, yes, we are. You're my leader. Hail all Bernie Sanders and all this kind of crap. Well,
which
tell us
is
what to do.
Directly contradictory to the point.
Yeah.
It was directly contradictory to the point of Bernie Sanders' campaign. His whole thing was, don't make it about me. Don't make it about me. It's not about me. It's not about me.
I mean,
which is why
the...
so many Bernie Sanders people did not follow... Now, not that many. I think like 90-something percent of Bernie Sanders supporters ended up voting for Hillary in the election. But a lot of them said, you know, I don't care who he endorses. I am fighting for what I believe, and they got a lot of shit for that because Trump won the election, which is a little insane, but that's beyond the point. The point is, like, why, if you didn't need him then, why do you need him now?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I'm really hoping that because of this is coming out now, I'm hoping that people don't use him as a crutch. I mean, I can remember one of the last videos that I watched of him when he like gave up his candidacy. When he was a candidate and he gave it up. But one of the last videos he did was he basically said, you know, get out there and do it. You know, if you want to like start out at the roots level, start out like at the bottom, work your way up. He even said for people like Nick to actually do this kind of stuff.
Right.
So for people to actually say, oh, what do we do now, oh Lord, in the favor of Bernie? That is the wrong way of doing it. That is not what he wanted.
So I actually have a few objections to Bernie Sanders, and a lot of them are, you know, it's going to sound shallow, but it's true in politics. First of all, I think the important part is we needed Bernie in 2015. This, you know, Bernie basically legitimized what a lot of people, particularly the Occupy movement, rise of socialism in America, you know, he basically legitimized the far left and independent movements. So we needed him at the time. But we're at this point now where we're like, we've been mobilized, we're there, so we need to go to the next step. We can't use him as a freaking teddy bear. We need to get rid of the security blanket. Mm-hmm. From a political standpoint, I don't want to be that guy, but you guys realize that how many people you're going to piss off at this point if you make your movement's leader a white male after everything that just happened, right? Just objectively, people have... And I'm not saying that they're right. I'm saying that people have gone out of their way to present the Bernie movement as misogynistic and racist. And they're wrong. But they believe it. A lot of people believe it. So we need to actually consider, you know, this is politics, guys. We, you know, and there are people, there are women, of color. There's that woman in freaking Seattle who has a lot of the same views as I think the Bernie movement has. Like, why not get her involved? Like, there's a lot of people. The other thing is, Bernie isn't too old now, and he would have been fine if he was doing a two-term presidency. Mm. In 2020, people are going to start saying he's too old. Mm-hmm. I think the ship has sailed for him, and I think the ship has sailed, perhaps thankfully, but the ship has sailed for Hillary Clinton. Like, those two people, we need to, you know... I love that the Democrats keep floating around Clinton. No. Ship has sailed for Hillary Clinton. If you know, and if you love Hillary Clinton, like, I'm not going to tell you not to love Hillary Clinton. I'm past that point in my life. I'm over it. But, like, so love Hillary Clinton. Do your thing. But the ship has sailed for her. You have to find somebody that has the similar views to her, and maybe is female, maybe is not. But you have to find someone that has similar views to her. That isn't her, and I feel the same way for Bernie. The ship has sailed. We need to find someone else. And I say we find someone else that is better fit for our movement, because it is true that Bernie Sanders did have some attitudes that I think independents in America don't actually agree with. Like, and that was okay. But if we're going to start a movement from scratch, we might as well start asking for what we want.
Oh, true. I mean, I don't think with neither of us are saying that this party idea is the shittiest idea ever. Because it's not.
I'm not even saying I wouldn't get behind it if they got Bernie. I'm just saying maybe he's not the first choice.
Yeah. I mean... You shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket, as it were. I mean, as the saying goes. I mean, eventually Bernie's going to say, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm taking, you know, I'm retiring from politics. And then
could
what?
You blame him? He's 70 friggin' five.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, what if he does that before, so like, the next election? What are people going to do then? They're going to be running around like headless chickens going, ah! But it's kind of like, but in between, to like the end of the election and up until a few days ago, when people started hearing about this, you had like the Dakota protests. You had people go out in the streets protesting Trump. You had all these other protests that were going on. You had all these other people that were like lining up, doing this and doing that. And I'm really hoping, I'm fingers crossed, that that doesn't all start dying down because of this.
Well, that's the thing.
New party that people think Bernie is gonna slide them to victory, and that's I don't think that's gonna happen.
That's the thing, and I think that was what was frustrating me post the election, particularly with the activist movement, where, you know, I am less sympathetic towards Hillary supporters now because I think that they've turned into exactly what they said they hated. They are, and they really were all along. Like, I've always had an issue. I've never had an issue with the Bernie bro storyline, like, in saying that it existed or people saying that this is wrong, because those two statements are both objectively true. I always had an issue with the fact that Hillary Clinton supporters took no responsibility for how ugly they let themselves get. And they're just throwing it out at everyone else and just shitting all over everyone. I'm like, you guys were not better. You guys in a lot of ways were worse because you did it longer. But, but like, there was this, you know, over the last few years, there was this window for independents, for socialists, for far lefties, where it was becoming acceptable to talk about socialist ideas, to say, if somebody said, income or talking about income inequality is socialist, you could turn around and say, well, so what? And people would be like, I don't know. And it was becoming more acceptable, and that window slowly starting to close, and I feel like this is the time where we need to make sure it doesn't close. We need to put a stopper there, and that does require, you know, stepping around, being careful a little bit, and activists hate that. Activists hate being told, you actually do have to think about these things, because activism is all about idealism, and idealism is a beautiful thing. I've spoken in favor of idealism. We're both friends with Rachel. She is a wonderfully idealistic person. Hi, Rachel. But I also, like, pragmatism is the other side of that. We need our Rachels and we need our Tabithas, is what I'm saying. Hey, Tabitha.
Yeah. We need to have both sides of the story. And then, of course, there's us that kind of, like, think too much and read too much, maybe into shit and... Maybe ask too many questions, but you know, it's people like us that kind of like ask the difficult questions that people don't want to maybe to like,
you know,
think about and stuff. And to me, that is more important right now than to like,
you know,
in this world that we're living in right now, is to ask those questions. Is to like, say, you know. I mean, I'm not saying I have any answers. I mean, I do. But, you know, it's kind of like I have these questions. And it's kind of like, well, does anybody else out there? it's kind of like, you know, what do you think? You know, and it's kind of like, well, it's not like I disagree with you or that I agree with you. It's kind of like I'm stuck in the middle and I'm not sure which way to go. And I'm questioning both sides.
Right.
And we know people are kind of like on both sides, or have like opinions of both sides, and then there are people that can see both sides and have opinions of both sides. If you know what I mean, it those people are kind of like few and far between. But it's kind of like I think me and you are more those sort of like who
well, you know, it's funny. I had talked to you about this when I was going through my little activist midlife crisis a few weeks ago. This is true, and it's a good way to put it, because I was like, so where do I go now? What do I do? Who am I? And like, I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, comparing myself to some of the people we've interviewed. So we've interviewed Lee Camp and Eleanor, and they come at things from, like, this angle of righteous anger. Like, when bad shit happens, they get pissed off, right?
Yeah.
Then we've interviewed Tyrell, and Tyrell is, you know, comes at things. He's very intelligent, but he has that background in conspiracy theory. So he comes at things from the angle, well, what is there about the story that we don't know yet? That's really, like, the kind of conspiratorial thinking he has. Like, there's the cynical Alex Jones people, but his level is, like, what is there that we don't know, and how do we find out? And then there's Tabitha, who's like, how do we solve this problem? And then there's me, and it occurred to me, I'm a worrier. That's who I am. I am that person that, you know, you remember the riots in D.C. I'm the person that when my friend said that she was going, I'm like, okay, just be careful because there's going to be a riot. You know there's going to be a riot. And she's like, yeah, I know there's going to be a riot. I'll be careful. And then when I saw the footage of the riot, I started thinking, well, what would I have done if I were there? I would have gone around and seen if everyone was okay. So, like, we all have our roles in this, and there's nothing wrong with any of those roles. Those are good roles to have. But it just means that we need to come at things from the angles that are right for us, which is why I have become more into volunteering and hands-on stuff as opposed... I still march, and I'm still trying to bring attention to things, hence the podcast. But I've been trying to come at it from that angle more. So
yeah, and I think all that is because of what these two people, especially Bernie Sanders, is... his kind of like has left, you know, the kind of thing that the movement thing that he stirred up in everyone. I think that's kind of like what he stirred up in a lot of people, and that's what happened. And I'll say it again. I really, really, really hope that what has happened in these past couple of months doesn't go. I hope that people will still sort of like go out and do these crazy sort of off-the-cuff protests, you know, where thousands upon thousands of people will just go out and protest about
something. It's a little sad because I'm already starting to see the resistance kind of fizzle out, which is what I was worried about. You know, I've made comments about, like, you know, this isn't what a resistance is, that's not... But, like, I support it. Like, I support activism, and I love seeing... I actually, like, people have been saying, oh, well, a lot of these are Democrats and blah, blah, blah. But, like, for me, I'm like, I love seeing Democrats mobilized. Because when Democrats are mobilized, not only does that give us numbers, but that means we can talk to each other and find out, like, because I think Democratic voters, the average Democratic voter has more in common with independents than you think. It's just where we're going. They come at it from the angle of, I have to choose between these two because these two are the only ones that have a chance of winning. It's a different perspective, and yeah, it's a perspective I don't necessarily agree with at all times, but, like, I don't think people realize we agree on more than we disagree, and that talking is how a movement is going to happen.
I think people were actually finally starting to actually talk to each other and actually finding out, you know, that people were, you know, finding out what different sort of things were sort of, bothering a lot of people, and it's kind of like it was bothering a lot of people, but they weren't worried about who they were, sort of, who they vote for, what party they were. It was just a case of what bothers you today,
right.
You know.
People
weren't worried about, you know, where they come from, what the colour was, what the party they worked for. It was, right, you're worried about wages, what these people over here know about, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, it was kind of like that. It was so nice to see. And
this was at the,
like,
protest
you said,
by you?
No. It's just sort of like things that I've been seeing, you know, like on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff. And I'm really hoping that doesn't fall away, because...
It's fun to see it, because there's still so much animosity between, unfortunately, the Democrats and the independents. I'm seeing all this stuff, like, you know, somebody will post, well, if you voted for Jill Stein, just shut up because you got us here. And then someone else will respond, well, if you voted for Hillary Clinton, just shut up because you just got us, because you got us here. And I'm like, can we stop telling each other to shut up and solve the fucking problem? We need to work together. The election's over. We're not enemies anymore. We shouldn't have been enemies in the first place. Because that's part of the reason I hate elections. It makes people enemies that have no business being freaking enemies.
I know. It's madness. It's frightening sometimes about how far people will go to like with the hatred vitriol stuff with of the elections. And I mean, I'm seeing to like people saying, you know, it's broken up friendships and stuff. I'm thinking, why?
I've seen so many people, and it's sad, actually. It makes me really sad. Like, and there's an extent to which I understand, like, you know, luckily none of my friends, I know a few people who voted for Trump, but, like, not that many, but I know a few people, but none of my friends were, like, alt-right, hard-line Nazi people. Yeah, if you come out and say, I support the alt-right, you know, fuck black people, yeah, we're not gonna be friends anymore. But, I'm like, people have turned, like, everything into, it's such a big deal that you can't talk. And that's where it gets a little scary. We've gotten so polarized, and I'm like, ugh, nothing's gonna get solved. And whenever you say that, people respond, well, you're telling, you know, an African-American to go hug a racist? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not even telling an African-American that they can't hate racists. They should hate racists. That's not my point. My point is that white people fucking sit there and use that as an excuse not to have a dialogue.
And tell other people not to have have a dialogue as well. I mean, Trump and this supposed travel ban is a perfect example, which we won't go into because I've been smacking my head on the desk all the time, so...
I have been going back and forth between calling him a President Revolting Slug and the Tiny-Handed Maggot. I kind of like Tiny-Fingered Maggot.
Tiny-Handed Maggot. King Tiny-Handed Maggot.
Oh, that was pretty funny, Wally. Like a week ago, Lee Camp I think he got bored on an airplane or something, and dedicated like half the day to trolling the shit out of Trump, and it was hysterical.
I'd laugh if he was on the loo or something, just to like.
Now, granted, I've been dedicating too much time to trolling Rick Scott, but I've come up with some good zingers.
Oh dear. Was it King Emperor, King Tiny Hands and Emperor Tiny Hands, he came on, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Don't promote him, Lee. This is why we're doing the anti-hero worship episode, because you promoted Trump. I'm kidding.
Yeah, Lee
loves... He didn't.
Yeah, Lee loves Trump.
Oh my god.
King Tiny Hands.
I think my favorite thing was after the election when everyone was saying RT supports Trump, people started trolling the shit out of Lee for not supporting Trump. And I'm like, you just read that report and ate it up, didn't you?
Oh, dear.
Lee is a fucking dirty hippie, is what he is.
Who?
Lee?
Trump or Lee?
Oh. Yeah, oh yeah, Trump's such a hippie.
You said it, not me. Lee,
well,
just so you know.
Lee,
yes,
I'm sure you shower, so you're a clean hippie. He's got the hair and the beard for it.
What was it? We call it the pervy Jesus.
Creepy pervy Jesus.
That's it, creepy
Which
pervy
Which is funny, because I think we're way pervier than him. But, So speaking of which, did you want to get to that part of the program that we planned?
Go on, then you start.
So we decided that because we had been, we've been very frustrated with hero worship lately, that we should mention, like, you know, we talk about Lee and Redacted a lot, and we like Lee and Redacted. First of all, I like him as a person. I've spoken to him many times. He's a sweetheart. He gets grumpy on Twitter sometimes, but usually people have it coming.
Don't make his ego grow any bigger than it already is. Please.
Okay, fine. You're the worst. We need to kick you. No, he's a lovely, lovely person, and I love his show. But you know, in the name of thinking critically, I thought maybe we could discuss some of the things he said that, hey, we've disagreed with. Because we don't talk about it enough, I think, for people who, you know, who have a podcast that we he's a running joke in.
I wouldn't say he's a running joke. Oh, all right, then he is.
Wally is a running joke. Well, the nickname Wally is a running joke. It's the oldest running joke in this podcast.
Can he jog, or he runs. Can I just start with one that I mean, this is kind of like from way back.
Yeah.
This is going back. When he did that segment on Blame Game.
Ah, yes.
Oh, please.
Lucy was displeased.
At a time when I was really sick and tired of everyone doing the Blame Game, he comes out with a clip on Redacted playing the Blame Game, and that just...
Oh my gosh, I get this DM from her saying, I was enjoying the show, but then I had to turn it off because he said, let's play the Blame Game.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, why does it... Oh, Blame Game just gets nowhere.
I think, I honestly don't remember that segment very much, so I can't speak for whether or not I agreed with the actual points he made. But yeah, I think right after the election, I think my problem with the whole Blame Game thing is that we kept talking about how, like, okay, the election's over, we need to come up with a plan, and yet we're sitting here saying, well, this was your fault, and this was your fault, and this was, like, okay... Trump got elected. Can we all just say this was a lot of people's fault? A lot of bad shit happened. And so what are we going to do now?
I just found the video, and the blurb for it is, many think that the third party candidates are to blame for the election results. But that is simply not true. Lee Camp reveals the blame game that there is much more culpable people who were at fault for electing Trump.
How about the
Which
voters?
Well, yeah.
Well, here's...
I can't remember who.
Well, he did say Trump voters. But, I think, like, I understand where he was coming from when he did that segment. And, again, to be fair, everyone was doing that segment, which was also the... That's a defense, but that's also part of the problem. But I think I didn't like it because I felt like it just... stank of you just did the segment to defend yourself.
Did you want to do one of the ones with the one of the interviews?
Which of the interviews did you want to talk about?
The one with the woman, Natalie.
I agreed with everything she said.
But I know the bollocks.
I did agree with everything she said. I think she may have been a little drunk. Oh, man, she was giving him come get me eyes so hard, which is a little awkward when you're talking about feminism. She seems like a really nice person. I've seen her on Twitter. She seems lovely, but that was a very strange interview.
Yeah, that was one of the more classy ones, I think.
I'm so sorry, Natalie. I feel terrible. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on, but there's some issues with this interview.
Oh, God, we're doing that, and I'll just sort of scroll down, and the one that kind of like leaps out at me has two words on it. It says, oh, crap. I think that perfectly sums up how we're feeling right now. Are there any other stories that you kind of like think?
This is an old one, and this was kind of something I think, you know, I'm always going to disagree with him on, is the psychiatric medicine thing. And
go for it. See, you're more sort of like involved, know more about that than I do. So take it away.
So here's the thing, and I think this is actually something that I think he and I would actually be able to have a pretty intelligent debate on, because I'm coming at it from the angle of being a patient who's done a ton of research because I do have issues with clinical depression and generalized anxiety disorder. I've done a ton of research on the topic for survival purposes. And he's coming at it from his father was a is a psychoanalyst. His mother is or was, I don't know if she's retired, a social worker. And I believe he said he studied psychology somewhat in college, or at least took classes. So, like, we're both informed on this issue. We just strongly disagree. My problem is that I don't think he's ever said he doesn't... He has specifically said he doesn't think... It's not that he doesn't think no one should take medication. He believes that too many people take medication. That's not my issue. He and I agree on that. My problem is that a while ago he did this segment where he was... this was old. This was with Abby freaking Feldman. He did this segment where, first of all, he hit my big pet peeve, which is calling several mental illnesses emotions. And I'm like, dude, you know better. Depression and clinical depression and general anxiety disorder are not emotions. Like, feeling anxious is an emotion. Feeling depressed is an emotion. Those aren't the only symptoms of those illnesses. But my other thing is that he quoted a very low, I think it was like 6%, a very low number, percentage of people who should be on medication, and then basically said, well, why doesn't anyone just go to therapy anymore? And I'm like, that's not what's going on right now. Like, for instance, like, I have generalized anxiety disorder and clinical depression. I don't think I fit under the category of severe mental illness because I don't have any kind of psychosis or anything like that. But I also have tried every other option. Like, I have tried meditation. I when I can, I do go to therapy. Like, I've tried, like, pretty much everything that people have suggested as a better alternative. For a lot of people with especially anxiety problems, medication is the best option, and it is the last resort people take. And I feel like there's this kind of commonplace attitude where that it's, you know, the easy crutch, and I don't think he intentionally promoted that attitude, but he totally did. Like, no, it's the last resort.
Can I just say something there? Maybe he was using language that everybody could understand. Maybe it was more simplistic than it should have been, maybe.
Yeah, I think my issue is that it's such a common attitude, and that I don't think he would ever do this because he's not a moron, but I've had so many people, I've seen so many people tell people who are on antidepressants to go off their medication. And I'm like, you can't do that. You're not their doctor. And while I don't think he would ever tell someone or would tell people not to do that, that kind of arguing is why people do that. And I'm like, it's dangerous. Like, it's a complicated issue. So that is one of the things that always frustrated me whenever he talks about psychiatric medicine. He does hypersimplify the issue. I'm like, you know, this is more complicated than that.
Do you think that when he talks about some of the things he does, like I just said, he uses words that maybe like a wider audience would understand instead of like using maybe words that should be in it, as it were? Do you think that's why sometimes maybe his point doesn't always maybe kind of like get across how he wants it to?
Well, that's possible. I guess my response to that is, your audience is smart.
He's probably smarter than he realizes, I think.
You know, like, we've talked about how sometimes we get frustrated when people take him at his word and don't do further research. But his target audience, and most of the people I've spoken to who watch his show, are very intelligent, intellectually curious people. I mean, I don't think he would need to simplify. I think it's hard with science, to be fair. Psychology is a science, and it's complicated. But,
yeah.
And I'll admit that this is personal. just like my hatred of Rick Scott, it's personal. I don't hate you over this, Wally. You know you have a cute butt, but...
Oh, shut up. I have two other things I wanted to say about the show that he's done. I mean, I just want to say thank you to Lee for everything he did about so like sorting out and showing up about the you know what was wrong with the elections at this time around.
That was
so
great.
You know, and trying to keep it in the eye and try and like get people to talk about it, which they did, and you know, and all the shitstorm that's kind of like come out of that. So good on you, Lee, for doing shit like that. And
I'm glad that he kept doing it. I'm glad that he did it after the election was over and pointed out that this was a problem on both sides. Because I think, unfortunately, a lot of Bernie supporters have gotten this criticism that we only cared about it when it was us. And that's not true. Maybe for some. Yeah, some, probably. But, you know, he had mentioned that, like, there was a lot of gerrymandering on Trump's behalf and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know, people act like, you know, no, this wasn't just an issue with the Democrats. And it wasn't just an issue with the frickin' leaks. Yeah. This issue was ingrained in our system, and it's something we need to keep talking about.
Yeah. Otherwise, nothing will get changed and stuff. I mean, a big shout out to Greg Palast as well for the shit he's taken and done about this and stuff. So,
well, I like. Sorry.
No, go on.
I like how Greg Palast had talked about how like they tried to do this with Obama and it didn't work because like it's important to point out that like. It is something that we can actually overcome if the candidate is popular enough. That is something that Bernie Sanders supporters need to remember. If the election wasn't that close, it wouldn't have mattered what Hillary Clinton did.
Okay, one more. I've got one more thing to say about this show, and then I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
But one other thing that I've noticed that we don't want to see again, Lee, is the man bun.
Death to the man bun. You are not a samurai. So you do it wrong. Man buns are not supposed to be pulled that tight. If you do a man bun, you have to make it messy. They're supposed to be messy. That's the point.
And have a more bushier beard to go with it as well.
It's true. You need a bushier beard. And I like the fact that you take good care of your beard.
You need a more of like a Father Christmassy type beard and a man bun. That goes, but what Lee had, no.
Also, the Blazers, dude. What the fuck? I mean, sometimes you... Well, there's that. They're not... Waistcoats
no,
are nothing. Go waistcoat or go home. Vests.
Yeah.
What?
And let us know where you get the T-shirt from as well.
That's true. Well, I love it because I see him wearing these Blazers and I'm trying to read his shirt and I can't. It's like, it's so distracting.
Yeah,
but,
show his chest, Lee.
What?
Wait. Show his chest, Lee.
I also miss his, you know, before he had the show, he had that weird I got lost in Goodwill for 6 hours look. Like, that was a good look for him.
He lost the will to live.
No. I hope not. That would be really depressing. I'm not that upset about the psychiatry thing.
So are we for the waistcoats to come back? Shall we get a petition going?
He does wear them on the VIP.
Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes.
Usually. Usually he does one episode with the waistcoat and one episode with the blazer. I just don't like blazer. Like I'm like, it's too formal, dude. You're not that formal.
That's not me. Anyway, one other question that I suppose to do with the new redacted, as it were. do like when now that he has to walk on, is that a lot more better? How do you feel about his walk on?
That I actually really like. First of all, I just like the aesthetic of that. It kind of fits his whole, like, you know, the fact that he's a friggin' stand-up comedian. Like, that it aesthetically works. He can be more expressive like that. I also like it at the end when he does the headlines from the future, because, like, he does it as, like, I think it's like a PowerPoint. He does the touchscreen thing, and he physically moves the picture, and I think that's a cool aesthetic. It's so funny, because when I first saw the show, like, the first episode, I'm like, you gotta dump the headlines from the future segment. I did not like it at first, but now I think it's actually really funny.
How long do you think that the his monologue that should be, how long do you think they be should be, do you think they should be as long as they are, like, nearly 10 minutes now, or do you think that they should be like the old MOC and stuff, just like quick 3 minute things or whatever?
I like it, but it's kind of funny when you think about it, because he does the cold open. Talking before they actually play the theme song, and then they do the credits halfway through the show.
Oh, God.
It's pretty funny to me.
Well, that's the thing that really annoys me with any sort of American TV show. You kind of, like, watch, like, 5 minutes, like, intro to a show, and then they do the head, then they do, like, the like, intro bit, and then about 10 minutes later they'll start doing who's in it and stuff, and I'm thinking, why can't you just do it all at once? No wonder this show's only like half an hour long. You got like half an hour for like credits and adverts and shit.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Fucking hilarious.
I think that might have been SNL's contribution, the cold open, but like, they, of course, they always did a really short sketch for the cold open.
Do you think he should do the whole show's kind of like standing up, you know, maybe with like, I don't know, with a tablet kind of like in his hand, as it were, but kind of like walking around and stuff?
Nah. No, I like the desk a little bit because it gives it more of a news show feel. But I just like the fact that, like, now he gets up more.
He should definitely sit on the front of the desk and do some, though. maybe even lay on the desk, you know, like, draw me like a French, like one of your French girls.
Speaking of, oh, stop.
Oh, dear, that would just be so cool. If only I could draw, I'd do that.
You can draw, I've seen your hand drawings.
Yeah, that's like stick people.
She is so lying. She did, like, a hand drawing of Lee a while ago and actually looked a lot like him.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
He has a drawable face.
Yeah, it makes you want to draw all over it.
Little dunts on the forehead.
Well, I wouldn't call it dogs, but, you know.
It's a dunce, but okay.
Oh, ducks.
Dunce. D-U-N-C-E.
Oh, dunce. Ducks, dunce. We're getting there. We're getting closer.
Speaking of people who should have writing on their forehead.
Trump.
Well, yes.
He should have, like, dickhead, dick written on his forehead.
He should just be smacked. Just get it, people. Hard. You know what I was thinking? You know the Rockettes who refused to perform at the inauguration? There were, like, half of them refused to perform. What we should do is get them in line. Each of them, because they're good at kicking, their Rockettes, give them a nice kick in the nuts. And we'll have that chick who quit the Mormon Tabernacle Choir over it to provide the music. And it would make a great show.
Oh, yeah. Off, Trump.
You down, Donald? I don't care.
Executive orders he's kind of like signed is more than, apparently is more than any other president ever.
He's in love with them, and he's very angry that that doesn't give him full power over everything.
Talking about Trump and stuff and whatever, I told you about this the other day, that apparently he's I don't know if it's true or not, but he's taking pills that kind of like lowers his sex drive and stuff.
Which oh, kind good. Of, he'll get less grabby.
Which kind of explains a lot.
It's true. He is in a bad mood all the time. I will say this, like, everybody's, like, freaking out over him throwing around the words fake news at everything he doesn't like. And yeah, of course, we should get mad at that. Mm. But which side started that? I mean, could the left stop giving the right freaking ammunition? Could we do that, please?
You know what it is?
Because, like, for 2 weeks, eventually, fake... Sorry.
Eventually, the term fake news will mean nothing.
And it already does.
It'll get to the stage of when somebody says, oh, this is fake news, and people will go, oh, right, okay.
Well, it already does. I think it did pretty quickly, because early on, like, fake news specifically was referring to websites that would make shit up. Like, that's what they were for. And there were a few websites that made shit up. And then it... What?
Breitbart.
Yeah. Well, right, like Breitbart and InfoWars and stuff like that. And yeah. Then it became, you know, every website that we didn't like. So it jumped to including RT, but it also, like, and, you know, that's a contentious issue. Okay, fine. But it also jumped to include, like, Mint Press News and freaking, like, Alternet and shit. And Democracy Now! Somehow became Russian propaganda. Democracy Now! Predated RT by, like, 2 decades. But, okay. So, and then, and so it was an attack on both the right-wing news outlets and the somewhat far-left news outlets. And then, like, so we started throwing around these words to refer to just news outlets we didn't like. And then we're mad that Trump picked up on that. I'm like, Trump's not that smart. If he could pick up on that and do the same thing to us, then we done fucked up. Because this is a conversation worth having. You know, the don't trust everything you read, make sure you verify things. That's something that you and I have been screaming for since day one. But we need to have that conversation in a worthwhile way, not just in this knee-jerk way. And so the real issue isn't that Trump, you know, oh, he keeps calling CNN fake news, which everyone's flipping out about. Like, I've called CNN fake news, too. But the real issue is that he's saying, don't trust anyone but me. That's what everyone should be pissed off about. That, you know, he's asking us to trust our government over what anyone else has to say. Well, that's not an okay thing for a president to say. That's something dictators say. So just, like, guys, have some priority. That was my whole thing with friggin' him going and saying, with the Russia thing. Like, the issue with him saying, everyone got all pissed off at how, like, he said, you know, we're not so innocent, we've done terrible things too. Something that the left would have been fine with him, with anyone saying, and would have agreed with a year ago. And everyone's like, oh, it's so disrespectful, he just compared us to Russia. And I'm like, no, the problem wasn't that he compared us to Russia. The problem is that he's okay with it. Could we get our thoughts in order? Our leaders cannot be okay, should not be okay with the fact that, yeah, we actually have done stuff as bad as Putin has. Like, if you're going to make that connection between Trump and Russia, do it right, okay?
Okay, while I go and with a nice
I've got righteous anger too.
I know. Righteous anger. Right on. Yeah. Can I just say that in the latest episode of Watching the Hawks, my art is in it. Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So thank you to Tabitha and Tyrell for that. So, right on.
Right on. Shall we talk about a light topic before we wrap up?
I could sell my t-shirt.
You can buy her and she's still persisted t-shirt. Oh, what? Kidding. Sell your t-shirt.
Don't suck corporate dictatorship.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You should acquire it.
It's on my Twitter account. It is there somewhere. If you go to at Lucy lower dash 73, you'll find it there.
We can put it up on the AQM. Or you can find Twitter.
I think you've got it on your one as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that's at Town Eccentric.
Yeah, so it on either of those Twitter accounts, you'll find a picture of this T-shirt that says "Don't Suck Corporate Dictatorship," and I have to say that again, we should stop doing this and giving him credit for it. But that quote came from me again.
It's a Wally thing. It's okay, again, like with the Elizabeth Warren thing. It's okay to like people. It's okay to have a ton of respect for people. It's not okay to uncritically listen to them. And if I find out people are doing that to me, I'd get really, really uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, I'm wrong about a lot of shit. Are you kidding me? I can barely count.
Right, shall we let people know where they can find us if they want to, or where they can avoid us?
Okay. So, ignoring that last part. We have a WordPress now. Do you remember the website?
Yeah, it's a questionablemindblog.wordpress.com.
Okay, you can also find us at AQM Podcast on Twitter. We changed it to make it make more sense. You can find me on Twitter at Town Eccentric. My website is eccentricvideos.com.
Well, I've already given my Twitter thingy out, so I won't do that again. But you can find my website is lucydyerart.verb.com. So, yeah, you can find us there. Leave us a comment. We're thinking of doing another one later this month. I don't know whether celebrate is the right word, but to commemorate, I suppose, is it probably a better word, to commemorate the life and times of one of the people that kind of got me into it anyway, into this whole business of activism and political stuff, Bill Hicks. So
kind of funny. I don't know if he would have seen himself as an activist, but he inspired a lot of us.
Yeah. So if you guys out there have any favorite Bill Hicks clips or sayings or even memories of whatever, so if you've got that, then please let us know, and we'll include it in our podcast for next week.
Ooh, there are some good ones. I know you have some good memories,
Is it next week? No, it's the week after. Yeah, it's week after.
I think it's the 24th was the anniversary of his passing.
26.
Okay. So a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I guess that's my cue to sign out. Keep worrying with righteous anger.
Well, no. Well, well, I mean, that could be a new thing. But the way it's always have a question in mind.
Bye, guys.